It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. This is Charlie Potter, your host on the Great Outdoors Show on WGN Radio. And I am doing this radio show this morning from Bavaria in Germany, just outside of the Alps, near Austria, where I've come by train. And so this morning's show, as will next week's show, will be quite different next week. I actually will do the show. It'll be taped. I'll be doing the show sitting on the beach, Utah Beach in Normandy, on the 80th anniversary of D-Day. But for this show, I am standing in a beautiful farmyard in the middle of Bavaria. And my guest today is Anthony Hammond, who actually has... Anthony, I guess you've got deep, deep American roots, but you've spent your entire life living in Germany, and you're really nice to come on the show this morning. Thank you for being with us.
Very happy to be here.
So, and you know, obviously your father grew up in America, and you've lived in Germany all your life. And what, Anthony, the reason I wanted to have you on the show, the Great Outdoors Show, is not to talk to a wonderful individual, which I'm doing anyway, but you are doing something extraordinary with falcons. And I today had the opportunity, of course, it's mid-afternoon here, and then it's dawn in Chicago. The sun's just coming up. We did something today that was really incredible. We banded falcons. So can you just talk a little bit about what's taking place in Germany and how people like you are trying to bring falcons back to a country where they once were very prevalent and a part of the culture? And here in your farmstead in Bavaria, you've actually got falcons nesting right up against your house. And as I'm talking on the radio here, Anthony, I'm actually looking at the chicks. So tell us a little bit about this. How did you get interested in raising falcons? And these are wild birds. You're not doing them for falconry. These are nesting and flying out on their own. And then we did this incredible banding of chicks this afternoon. So what made you decide to do this?
Well, we live out here for a couple of years now, and we watch these falcons always, and they have a very special sound when they communicate with each other, and we've been watching them, and my two sons and I decided, okay, maybe we should build some nests for them, maybe they will breed, and we have a few barns around the house, and we actually thought, okay, that's the right spot, away from human beings, somewhere out in the bushes. That's where they would like to breed. But then suddenly we discovered that these falcons were sleeping during wintertime, always close to the house. And we thought, okay, maybe we have to change that strategy and take the nest close to the house. So we did that. My two boys, they're back then, it's 5 years ago, they were 12 and 9. And they built these little nest housings for very special. And the German Bird Foundation, they kind of give you like plans how to build these nests. And they're very open, and they're not like a nest, like, let's say, a bird's nest that you usually know with these sticks. And so they like it more like gravelly, because they're called the Tower Falcons or the Mountain Falcons. And they like it more rural, and they like it more not a nest like we used to know it from. So we built that cage, that little nest thing there. And then, as I said, we discovered that these falcons were staying around the house. So we thought, okay, maybe we have to hang that thing up close to the house. So we did that on the east side of the house, which is more protected. We have mostly westerly winds here from Central Europe. And so we said, okay, more protected, because during winter, snow and stuff like that and rain. So we put up that little nest cage up to the house, and 2 days later, they started inspecting the nest, and about a month later, they started laying eggs. We put up a little camera, and, you know, for the boys, I mean, it was like, okay, wow, let's watch that. And so in the first year, they had like 8 eggs, which is a lot for falcons, because here where we live, it's dairy country, so we have a lot of green lands, and that's where they have a lot of mice. Because that's what they hunt, and that's what they feed their chicks. So,
Anthony, as I'm talking to you, I am actually, for those listening, you can envision this. I am looking at this nest that you built the structure up against right. under the eaves of the house. And it's pretty nice because I'm actually standing out under another eave where it's raining on me, and I've just moved inside. And I'm looking up here at this falcon nest that you built, and I can see three chicks that are fledged. They can't fly yet. And those are the chicks that we banded today. So tell me a little bit about right. this banding program, and then I talked to the individual okay. through your translation about the folks. It's an extraordinary story about these birds and where they go. But so this yes. is an international banding program, is that right, Anthony? Or
correct.
How does it take place?
Well, we have here in Europe, we have different, they call them bird stations. Like we have one in southern Germany and one in northern Germany, and they have one in southern Spain, and they have one in southern France, and they have one in northern. So each country has like 2 to 3 of these bird registration camps, they call them. They also breed birds there that were kind of hit by a train, and let's say they hurt their wing or something, so they bring them there, people. And these rings are, like in Germany, we have these two stations, so there's the southern part and northern part, and each ring has then the registration number for either they are ringed in like we did today, that so it's on the left foot, and if it's on the right foot, that's a grown-up bird that was found, and they put the ring on the right foot. So you can, by binoculars, look up and see, okay, this is a bird that has been ringed in the nest, or this is a bird that has been ringed later. The number then tells you which station it's connected to, and then the number says who ringed the bird and which countryside, like in this case of Bavaria, and then what year, and then what time of the year also, and then when birds are found, if they were hit by a train or a car or whatever, you can then look up the ring, and you can go into the computer program, and you can find out where this bird was ringed, what year. And we have found birds that were ringed here in Mauritania, which is Western Sahara in Africa. And one owl was found in Korea, in Seoul. And
you have to tell that story. You're stealing my thunder. You can't tell that story. Folks, you're not going to believe this. It's actually a very humorous story. But at the end of the show, I'm going to tease you. We're going to talk about how an owl banded here in Bavaria ended up in South Korea. It's a wonderful story, but we're going to save that to the end. But you said something
okay,
that
I'm sorry.
When they recover these bands, but unlike birds that are hunted, like ducks or geese or cranes, all these birds that have bands, and then you can send the band number in when it's harvested, they pick up these bands when these birds die. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Or they fly into a certain, like say, a tower, a church tower, and they can close the door where they flew into, like with pigeons, same thing, and then they can look up the ring and can estimate, so where does this bird come from? Now, of course, the new technique, also the guy told us today who ringed the birds, that they have the GPS, and they can now, because they're so small, that I mean, falcons are very small birds. They're very light birds. You can't put a big GPS battery or anything around. He will have difficulties to fly. So, but now the new technique, he told us today, is so they can do a little teeny tiny GPS that will last for like 3 months or so, and then the battery's dead. But at least they can see where are they going and what are they doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the right. falcons also, from your homestead here in Bavaria, which, for those
right.
of you who haven't been to Bavaria, it's one of the most beautiful, I have to tell you, Anthony, it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. This countryside in Bavaria it's so lush, the lakes, the mountains, it's spectacular. And it makes you think in many ways,
wildlife.
Of course, of the Sound of Music, wildlife and everything. And so, Anthony, we're going to take a break. When we come back,
right.
I want to learn a little bit more about where these falcons go. And also then we talked with the individual banding these birds today, and he talked about some of the birds that he had banded, the storks, and where they've gone. And then obviously we're right. going to end with your wonderful owl story, which could only happen in the modern age. So I'm looking out for those of you who can't imagine this, I'm looking right now out across a meadow full of cattle. The flowers are blossoming and blooming all across the fields. It's truly Anthony, you live in a wonderful part of the world. We're visiting with Anthony Hammond from Bavaria in Germany. And this is Charlie Potter, your host of the Great Outdoor Show on WGN Radio. Be back in just a moment. But first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and thank you for joining me this morning. I am actually calling you from Bavaria in Germany, and it is mid-afternoon here. While, of course, it's just the sun's just trying to peak itself up in Chicago, and we're talking with Anthony Hammond, who lives in a wonderful part of Bavaria out in the rolling farm country with lots of dairy cows, but also falcons and owls, and not particularly right here, Anthony, but we have a great story of cranes. And how all this came about today is you and I were involved in a falcon rebanding expedition of chicks, which involved me holding a ladder while you went up to the third floor of this old barn and brought the chicks down one by one. And I learned something about falcons, and you were discussing this with the expert who came down to band these birds. Unlike so many other bird species, they don't hatch their young all at once. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because it's really different.
Yes. Well, when they start breeding the eggs, it takes about 2 days per egg when they lay the eggs. So in total, this year we had 7 eggs. We also had 8 eggs once, which is a sign that there's a lot of food available. They don't lay that many eggs if there's not enough food available, so they only lay like 4 if there's not enough food. It depends on the countryside. Since we have dairy land here and it's been mowed like 2 to 3 weeks regularly, so then the falcons can find the mice really quick, so that's then they can hunt them and feed them to their chicks. So 8 eggs takes about 2 weeks. 8 eggs around that takes about 2 weeks to lay them, and then it takes at least 1 week until all of the chicks are leave the eggs, so the eggs crack open. So you have the first one, which is really big, and the last one is really small, and it's really a hard business for these falcons to feed them all equally. So the smallest ones will survive because they're so small, and that they have difficulties because the big ones always try to get the first bite. It's clear because they're bigger and they open their mouth wider than the small ones do. So that's really interesting. We have a little camera there, so we've been watching all this process while they're cracking up the eggs and showing up, and the parents start to feed them and so on and so forth. So we've been watching that. So it's about a week and a half until all are there. Week and a half. Yep.
So one of the cool things, Anthony, is obviously this was 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago, the idea of falcons in doing this was pretty rare. Their population's recovering just unbelievably well all across, very strongly. So when we were visiting with the individual who came down today to band these, and of course they make records and it's international, then where they go, and as you said, they found them in the Sahara, he was talking about the storks that he's been banding.
Yes.
And Anthony, I found this to be incredible. Here we are in Bavaria, and they have found these storks in South Africa. I mean, we know about birds migrating, you know, the length of the North American continent, actually going all the way from Argentina to the Arctic. Some birds do that. But we don't think about Europe and the fact that these birds are probably going from the North Sea all the way down to the tip of South America.
Northern Russia.
We're talking about the Arctic Sea
going all the way down to South Africa. And the route that they're taking is either through Spain and the Strait of Gibraltar, or they go down to Istanbul and go along the Bosporus. So they have two major routes. And then it depends on, they go down the Nile River all the way down to South Africa, or they go along the Sahara and follow then the River Niger and all that. So they know exactly where they're going. They have an exact plan and also exact timing. And that's unbelievable, because tomorrow we have maybe the chance, when I take you down to the train station, I can drive you by this wetlands where we have all these storks. We have about 50 storks breeding down there. And with the storks, when they ring them, they have different colors. So with the binoculars, they have big feet or long feet, and they can put bigger plastic rings around them with different colors. So with the binoculars, you can exactly tell where it's from, what year it's from, just through the different colors of the rings. That's really something else compared to the little rings we saw today with the numbers.
You know, in America, we think we have these tremendous programs, and we do for North American birds and everything. You have every bit as equal here in Europe, and it's exciting to watch this. And actually, it's exciting to watch these falcons get banded today by you. Let me go. We've got about a minute left. I promised we would end the story with an owl that was banded very near your place here in Bavaria, and it was recovered in South Korea. So you got about 30 seconds, Anthony.
Okay. So this bird flew into a Lufthansa cargo plane and took the flight down to Seoul, South Korea. And they discovered the bird in South Korea with the number. And they said, where's this bird coming from? And they found a little number. And they said, okay, it's from Bavaria. It was a little owl. They call it a forest ear owl. It's a very small owl, about as big as your wrist if you put it together. Yeah.
So got a free ride from Bavaria to South Korea, and I don't know if that owl came back, but certainly when I was listening to the story, the individual telling it to us, Anthony, didn't say it was on Lufthansa. It described this incredible journey, and of course, I'm soaking it up. That's not possible, and he says, and it was in the cargo hold of Lufthansa. So, Anthony, thank you for being with me. It's Anthony Hammond from Bavaria, Germany, and next week I will do a show that I think will be incredibly special. I'll be talking to you from the beach, from Utah Beach in Normandy, on the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.